Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and it's time for our Ethics Watch with Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. Welcome, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, welcome to you too, Pastor. How you doing?
Oh, I'm awake. You know, the weekend gets me off my schedule just a little bit, but made it on time. So you said just before there, during the break, that last part, and I didn't quite catch all of it, that there is an issue now with the freezing of the human person. Is this kind of cryogenic pausing until they can find disease cures?
Yeah, let's parse out two words here. Cryonics, which is the actual freezing using liquid nitrogen and other components of people who have died, and expect down the road that at some point in time they'll be able to be revived and reanimated back to a normal quote-unquote life. That's called cryonics. Cryogenics, which some people tend to confuse the two, that's actually the study of low-temperature materials that are used in cryonics. I'm not trying to confuse people, but cryogenics is actually the study of materials at low temperatures, and that then finds its way into what's called the cryonic issue of, and there's several places out there that freeze people who have died. There's been several baseball players and actors, and there was a young lady in her 20s that recently basically went through euthanasia or assisted suicide in Oregon, and then she had her body frozen at a cryonic institute, and thinking that this is all going to come back, and when in fact the technology is so far, well, it's just not going to happen. The problem, of course, for your listeners, is that there's ice crystals that are formed, cells don't come back all to 100%. It's the same problems they have when they freeze embryonic human beings, is that not all of these little children that have been frozen come back alive. Anywhere from 13 to 75% of them die in the thawing process. So there just isn't a way that this is ever going to happen. But I think this comes back to this whole issue of immortality and people who are still trying to seek and drink from I guess you might say the Holy Grail, as Indiana Jones talked about it in one of his movies.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. So this is a post-death saving of the body in the hopes that there will be science able to bring them back to life later.
Yes.
I mean, I could get maybe trying to do this if I was terminally ill and there was a way to do this before I died. I'm still think you're right, and that's the wrong seeking of eternal life here. There's a real danger in that, the misplaced hope in a world that's pretty much gonna burn eventually. But doubly so, just the bizarrity of you're already dead. You know, it's this mummification in a bizarre just twist.
Well, it is. You're right. No, it's a mummification in a sort of a liquid nitrogen format. It costs thousands and thousands of dollars to do it, and then thousands of dollars to keep that person frozen in perpetuity.
Yeah, what's the carbon footprint on that? You know? I mean, isn't that the question?
I have no idea.
The dual personality nature of the progressive agenda, which would be pushing something like this. This fits right in with euthanasia, as you said before, with the entire movement towards the culture of death, is also the one that is worshiping the environment so much, right? And yet, when it comes to things like this, you're not going to hear about what you just said, how much cost this has, keeping a dead person's body frozen over against, you know, caring for the living.
Well, yeah, this is, you know, and those people who are thinking about this, and I, nowadays in this particular, as you said, progressive liberal culture, I don't put this past anybody, even Christian Lutherans who think, gee, I wonder if this could really work, because this whole issue of wanting to live forever is through artificial intelligence, which is another issue sometime we can chat about. They just still haven't got, we were talking about this in Bible class on Sunday, what sin is,
right,
and what original sin is, and how it all, just following the scriptures, and you can see the first case of depression, of course, where Cain, where the Lord tells Cain, well, you look pretty down here, Cain. I mean, you can just start to see the impact of original sin on the body and the soul immediately, certainly with Adam and Eve, and then as it follows with Cain. and his brothers, and off it goes into the whole issue of aging and disease and so forth. And people are dying. And I just tell people all you have to do is visit a cemetery. And you're going to understand very quickly that you will die. And no, yes, people are living longer. But this search of immortality, which is a real search for many people, and I even know some people that are in search of the so-called gene for original sin, which, of course, they're not going to find because the whole genetic code is corrupted. So in this context, I think this behooves us as pastors and Christian lay people to go back and study in terms of original sin and its impact on our body and our soul. And then, of course, that brings us to the whole issue of redemption and Christ, and how, yes, created in his image, the image was corrupted, and now it's been restored in Christ. So this, again, would cause us all to go back to the scriptures to put the correct view, not perspective, but the correct view, biblical view, on what it means to be in Christ and have our sins forgiven as we move through Advent and ask the Lord to come quickly. So in that context, that's kind of what one of the big issues right now that once again surfaces. It hasn't surfaced for several months, but now it's back again.
Well, and certainly you're cutting to the core when you get past you got the surface issue of the freezing, and then you got the deep issue for the Christian. Where is your hope in this life? And you could apply this to a number of other things, including the pharmaceutical industry. At what point do we realize that we're trying too hard to stay in a world of death and sin? And it's not like it's wrong to, you got, you're sick, they got surgery to fix it, get it done. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But when our hope is in it such that we're surprised at death, that we think that we can avoid death, that we're bothered by leaving this world rather than seeing it as a release that we're going to be going home. This is a real question. I don't want to miss the other two issues you had for us this morning, especially that law issue with the abortion.
Yeah, I think that is perhaps this may sound a bit grotesque for some of our listeners on his time, but disposing of elective aborted children has become a major political and ethical issue in Texas right now because the Texas governor has said, look, these children don't need to be cast into the fiery furnace, that is, in terms of no identification. Because what it is that Governor Greg Abbott, who's very pro-life, declared what's called a life initiative to protect the unborn and prevent the sale of baby body parts, which is ongoing in Texas. And, of course, the Planned Parenthood clinics, and they're all pro-choice in Texas, they say that cremation of burial or burial services, which is what the governor is proposing, provides no medical benefits, and this imposes an undue burden on Texans who are seeking elective abortion care. And so this whole issue then is going to be fought, obviously, in the courts. And the signs that come with this article in the newspaper, they show these NARO people holding up signs, the burden is undue, and we need abortion access. And it shows a whole bunch of young people. And I still can't quite understand, Pastor, how people can say that the child in the womb is not a human being. I've often asked people that are so-called pro-abortion or pro-choice that, you know, I said, were you ever in your mother's womb as an embryo? Well, yeah, I was. Well, now they basically have identified their humanity right there by using a personal pronoun, I. And so I tend to use that once in a while and sort of stops them. But this whole case down in Texas needs to be brought to our attention because back in June, the United States Supreme Court struck down Texas regulations which required abortions to be performed in hospital-like surgical centers.
Right, to provide health care for the women in the case of there being an issue, which is very clearly there. It's amazing the powers that be and their agenda to keep this thing down. And as well, you say, you know, you're surprised how they can say that this baby's not a baby. Well, at this point in time, with the science and the evidence and the pictures we have in the womb, it's sheer ignorance and frankly, brainwashing. They're believing a certain set of propositions that they have just repeated in an echo chamber over and over again. They're not looking at the facts. They're not looking at the science. They're not looking at when the heart starts beating. They're not looking at when pain starts for the child. None of that's being considered. They're just repeating what they've been told with 50-year-old pseudoscience that they've bought hook, line, and sinker. Let's move on to that last issue. We've got about 3 minutes left here.
All right. The last issue is this is the first case of assisted suicide in California. They're not wasting any time. This made the news in a few of the papers out west. Hasn't made it here yet in any of the papers that I read in the morning. But this is interesting. Iowa, believe it or not, is considering assisted suicide. The Des Moines Register put this out. They put a survey out, and they don't have it yet. But it would be if they go for it, and apparently the people want to go for it, like they did in Colorado. They put a survey out. How well does it work? And so what they did is they went to California for the first case where Betsy Davis died on July 24th, and she basically ordered some drugs because she was unable to take them herself. She had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and her sister helped her order these drugs. And technically, she really didn't give herself the drugs, which is, to be quite frank, illegal. You have to administer these yourself. And they were given to her, but apparently the courts in California are going to do nothing about this. And so she was the first case of assisted suicide in California that was passed in June. So in Oregon, it's been legal since 1998, and the statistics in Washington State, where it's been legal since 2009, about 1,600 deaths have been reported, but many of these deaths have resulted in complications. Some of these people have not died; they wake up. And so, the point I'm trying to bring out is that once again, with this assisted suicide, it's starting to reach its tentacles now into the Midwest, and so now you have the state of Iowa looking at this. And sometimes as a pastor, I'm not sure what to do other than I bring this up in Bible classes to inform people that, you know, this takes us back to our catechesis, our confessions and the scriptures, about you will not murder. And so once again, back to some of your comments about some of these things that are ongoing, I really would encourage all of our pastors and our teachers and our lay people. You know, the Bible says we need to baptize and teach. Sometimes I'm not sure we're teaching and that we're fearful of bringing up some of these issues within the context of our scriptures and confessions. And that's how they have to be addressed.
Yep.
So that people have to be informed on these issues.
It is absolutely imperative as we see these things coming that we expect that they're going to come, that we expect that we're going to be living in the next century in a culture that does not share our worldview founded in the scripture and the catechism, that we are a minority and the world is going to go mad around us. And if we are unprepared to know what we believe and why we believe it, we're going to be swept along in that tide. It's a rising flood. It cannot be emphasized how much we need to return to the basics, which you say the catechism, and some people don't realize that's the scriptures, Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer. It's wisdom for life. Well, we're just about out of time here, Dr. Weiss. Thank you for being with us this morning.
My pleasure.
You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO with our weekly Ethics Watch. Back in just a moment with the lectionary study.